people forget that even the person on the back of the line is a skilled laborer. It's a skill in order to do that. And when it has an effect on productivity and efficiency, it resonates all the way up the chain, all the way up the chain.
Today, I'm excited to welcome Vince Sassano to the show. Now, Vince has got a really interesting background. He's got a sort of a data analysis and software background, but he's also deeply involved in the manufacturing space. And so we had a wide-ranging conversation. Out of the gate, we had a nice chat about our friend Herbie. If you've read The Goal, Eli Goldratt's book, The Goal, you know who Herbie is. And even if you don't, we explain who Herbie is and sort of what was going on with Herbie and what that has to do with continuous improvement. After that, we then sort of transitioned into the whole topic of KPIs and key performance indicators and what they are and why they're important and how we can set good KPIs. I then worked in sort of the conversation of Billy Taylor and the whole idea of key performance actions or leading indicators and key performance indicators or lagging indicators. So we had a nice chat about that. Then towards the end, we get into the whole idea of data collection and spent quite a bit of time talking about how we collect data is very important. I had a good conversation on the importance of being able to trust our data and is our data reliable. And I even geeked out a little bit on gauge R&R and making sure our data is repeatable and reproducible, that sort of thing. And then Vince talked about, okay, so now we've got data, what do you do with it? Like, and how do you use that to make your business better? So I think this is going to be a conversation that's going to benefit anybody, even if you're not in manufacturing, you're going to be a benefit because all of us have data. All of us have some sort of constraint in the work that we do. So show notes can be found over at gembapodcast.com. Just look for episode 471. Also, just a quick plug, we are starting to do workshops here at Gemba Academy. So if you go to gembaevents.com, you're going to be able to see what workshops we got coming up. And we'd love to see you here in Keller, Texas. And you can even come in and see where we record this podcast. So again, that's gembaevents.com. All right, enough from me. Let's get to the show. Vince, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. I'm excited. So I know you've listened to the show before, and we do like to get things going with our guests and a quote right out of the gate. What do you got?
Okay. So my favorite quote is Find Herbie, and it's from the book The Goal by Elihu Goldratt, and I use it all of the time. The book is written for manufacturers, but interestingly enough, there's a lot of uses outside of manufacturing and productivity that that book has. So,
funny story about The Goal. You know, if you're a continuous improvement practitioner and you have not read the book, you need to read it. It's a classic,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Funniest story about The Goal. You know, I think I first read it. Oh my gosh, 10, 15 years ago. I don't know when it was, but I was working at Nokia at the time, the cell phone company, and my wife was working at Nokia in the human resources department. And so I had been reading it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a great book. I mean, I was geeking out on all the sort of lean stuff or continuous improvement, TOC stuff, right. Goldratt was a great storyteller, so I was telling my wife about it. When she read it, she was like, oh, Alex Rogo, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She was more on the husband-wife saga.
Right, exactly. That's what I like about the book is that it completely distracts you
right. And
makes it a quick and easy read because you're reading about this guy's relationship and you're like, when's he going to get to the productivity part?
Right.
And it's great the way he winds it in there.
Yeah, but it's all related in a way, right?
Oh, yeah. It's completely related. It's not a side deal. It's
right. Exactly. Good stuff. All right. Well, hey, Vince, tell us a little about yourself. Tell us about your background and what you're up to these days.
Wow. That's a big question. So I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. I'm a graduate of Iowa State University with a degree in computer engineering. And went the technology route for a while, IT manager, IT director, being involved in technology. My career took me into manufacturing, and I was involved in that for a while. And then decided to start a company gosh, going on 30 years ago, that focused primarily on technology. And then I ended up getting involved in accounting systems and ended up starting another company that sold ERP systems. And so got involved in a lot of different areas of manufacturing from there, and have just over the years now just kind of specialized, moved to the shop floor and really helping customers focus on how technology can help them become more productive, you know, mixing and matching and really coming up with hybrid versions of the human resource and the technological resource so that you get the technology to work for you, not you working for the technology.
Yeah. And so, love it. Good. All right. Well, hey, so you mentioned Herbie early on, and just in case folks, you know, haven't read the book or they don't, you know, haven't studied TOC or anything like that, theory of constraints. Tell us what is Herbie? And first of all, maybe the backstory of the book and young Herbie, you know, and then what does it really mean in the context of continuous improvement?
Okay. Well, you know, this is not a suspense novel, so I'm not going to feel like I'm giving anything away for people who haven't read the book. But Herbie is a kid, and there is a story in the book where the gentleman who is the main character, the protagonist of the story, is trying to find a way to get his Boy Scout troop through the forest in the fastest way. And there's this kid named Herbie who is kind of the slowest walker in the group. And so he tries different ways to get the group through the forest. You know, do we put him in the middle? Do we put him at the end? Do we put him in the beginning? But before he could even go through that, he had to find out, okay, so who's going to be, you know, kind of my slowest walker? And so he runs through a little bit of a, you know, some games with the kids and said, oh, okay, so Herbie's going to be my slowest walker. So now I know that the group can't go any faster than Herbie. And so now I need to figure out how I can organize this in order to get the whole group through the trail, keeping in mind that Herbie is going to be kind of the bottleneck. And so really Herbie is an acronym for bottleneck. Mm-hmm. And the fact that bottlenecks move, I think, is something that is a little bit of a learning, and for people like us, a teaching concept for manufacturers, is that it's not static. It's mm-hmm. a continuously flowing fluid environment where you're looking for Herbies and then solving them and then finding the next Herbie. And the latter half of the book really does an excellent job mm-hmm. of helping people understand that it's not just finding Herbie and then solving it. It's getting good at learning how to find Herbie and then solving it, because he's going to move mm-hmm. and he's never going away. I mean, I don't know that we're ever going to reach a point where you never have any downtime ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And downtime, I think we all agree, is the number one thing that happens in manufacturing that affects the entire organization. Mm-hmm. If the machines aren't running, nobody's making any money, and it affects the schedule, it affects the people on the floor, it affects management, it affects everything. So,
yeah. Yep. No, exactly. And, you know, what I appreciated about the book and just really about theory constraints in general, just to, you know, the quick story, if I remember it correctly, it's been a long time since I read the book, but I remember in the beginning, Herbie was falling behind, right? And that was the original problem, was that
right.
they were worried they were going to lose a kid, right? Namely Herbie. And so I think they moved them to the front initially, right? They moved them yes. to the front of the line. So then, well, you can't lose them, first of all. So that solved one problem. We got safety, right? And keep all these kids
exactly.
safe.
Exactly.
So we're not going to lose them. But now the whole troop is now basically ground to a halt almost, because this kid's so slow. And so what did he do? They looked in his backpack and he had all this crap in his backpack, you know. Right. And so elevating the constraint, as they say, right, in TOC. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, you know, eventually, you know, we're moving as efficiently as we can, right? And you know, if they were going to be, I guess, continually to hike week after week after week, if I remember right, Herbie may have been a little overweight even, right? So, you know, maybe they'd be like, hey, let's work on our conditioning and our fitness, and then you can continue to elevate that constraint, right? And
well, whether you're carrying the load or you're carrying a backpack or whatever it is, it's really looking at, and that's an excellent point that you bring up there, is because it's not always about, you can raise the constraint as best you can, but really you have to understand what your constraints are.
Yeah.
So if the constraint is Herbie's lugging the heaviest backpack and he's the heaviest person, well, then you could shift one of the backpack to somebody else.
Right. But if he's not going to lose weight on the hike, right?
No, he's not, not going to lose weight on the hike. But if he's not carrying a backpack,
exactly,
then you have no constraint that you can lift.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Good stuff, man. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, so what I want to kind of maybe orient our conversation around a little bit is just the whole idea of continuous improvement and KPIs, or key performance indicators. So first of all, just in case folks aren't familiar with what is a KPI, tell us about that. Let's just level set on what you mean by KPI.
Well, your KPI is really your highest level numbers that you're going to look at in order to evaluate whether the organization is going in one direction or the other. Very few organizations that I've worked with have only one. Usually they'll have four or five, you know, what they'll call key metrics or key performance indicators, and they will track them quarterly, monthly, sometimes weekly, depending on the particular KPI and what the level of detail is they want to track. A lot of the customers that we work with have seasonal businesses, and so they'll know that in this particular month, certain KPIs will be down, but that's expected because of the seasonality of their business. But it really is the top, highest level look at how well the operation is performing.
So like just at a really high level for an organization that's trying to make money, which is most, you know, is it a KPI, things like your revenue at a really high level, or down in manufacturing, it's pieces and output, that sort of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
It's a pretty wide range there. It really depends on the department. So yes, the financial department will have their KPIs, which will be more like not only gross sales, profit, costs. They could be tracking inventory turns, things of that nature. The plant floor is really more about efficiency and quality and safety. Actually, not in that order. It's actually safety, quality, and efficiency. Yeah. You know, so they are looking at, from a safety perspective, lost time incidents. From a quality perspective, they're looking at rejects and rework and that sort of thing. And from an efficiency perspective, you know, they're looking at their throughput. They'll have some metrics and calculations designed around those particular topics. It's a self-policing system. You come up with your own formula. As far as what you think is good and what you think is bad. And I've got a pretty interesting story on that particular topic. Had a customer many years ago that one of their key performance indicators was pounds produced. And the only comparison that they had was how well they did last year. And so they would compel themselves year to year and say, okay, well, we produced this amount of pounds last year with this product, and now we're producing this, and it's a 50% increase. We must be doing better. And then when we got involved and we started to say, well, we need to kind of take a look against, you know, what your capacity is and what can you do, and introduce some additional metrics to their calculation. And when we did that, they found out that they really went from 35% efficiency to 45% efficiency. And they said, wow, that's terrible. I mean, we can do a lot better than 45%. And I'm like, absolutely. But you didn't know that you were at 45%. As far as you knew, you had beaten your metric from last year by 50%. So you're patting yourself on the back. Now that you're looking at things from, you know, a little bit more of a detailed metric, and this particular metric came out of, you know, the philosophy, world-class manufacturing OEE. There was just some things that they were not accounting for in their KPI. Mm-hmm. So when we evaluated their KPI, we're like, well, why don't we just start a new KPI? We'll call it this, and we'll compare it to your old KPI, and that'll give you an idea of what's actually a little bigger picture. So really, that those KPIs are critical because that is your window that you're looking through.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of your scoreboard. Are we winning? Are we losing? Right.
And right.
So,
right.
So how do you balance in that example where you talk about the company is producing pounds of some substance, right?
Yeah.
How do you balance that KPI with, well, what's the customer actually want? Because it doesn't matter if you can make a ton of this stuff and you got thousands and tons of pounds, all this material is sitting there, but mm-hmm. the customer don't want to buy it. Right. Then you just built up inventory. Now, you know,
well, the customers that we work with are really producing, they're producing to orders.
Okay.
But you do bring up a good point because there is a difference between kind of a job shop manufacturer, which will have a higher turnover rate mm-hmm. than more of a continuous manufacturer where it's like, listen, we're doing our planning for the year. We know that this customer is going to order, you know, 1 million pounds or 10 million pounds of this particular product. We know that they're going to want it shipped on these dates. And yeah. so we can kind of plan for that.
Yeah.
When you're in more of a job shop environment, changeover really becomes one of your primary metrics or KPIs because it yeah. does make a difference when you change over from one product to another product. That's downtime that you're planning. It's basically planned. You have two types of downtime. You got planned downtime and unplanned downtime. Mm-hmm. So the planned downtime, you do the best you can with scheduling and customer demand and all that sort of thing. Unplanned downtime is what everybody wants to avoid because obviously you didn't plan for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Are you familiar with a gentleman named Billy Taylor? We've had him on the podcast a few times. And he used to work at Goodyear and he was a really high up, big shot guy in Goodyear's production system, helped form it and all the rest of it. And he has an interesting take on balancing what he calls KPIs, which we all have KPIs, but then also really putting a lot of emphasis on what he calls KPAs, key performance actions, right? And so KPI mm-hmm. might be, well, I want to lose weight. So I step on a scale every day and that's my KPI is my weight, you know? And then mm-hmm. KPA is, okay, well, how many calories did you put in your body? How much exercise did you do? How many steps did you take? So like, have you experimented or worked with your clients on sort of balancing things like KPIs? Like, okay, yeah, you want to ship this many pounds. What are the actions that we need to take in order to do that?
Absolutely. We do an analysis of the KPIs and then we do pretty much a reanalysis on initially a quarterly basis, but then really it just comes down to annual. Mm-hmm. And then beyond annual, I mean, gosh, we've got some customers that haven't changed their KPIs in you know, 3 to 5 years, but they do review them.
Yeah.
Based on the change of the business and the type of business. So that's one aspect, I believe, of your question. The other mm-hmm. aspect has to do with what actions are you taking off of your KPIs, which means what are your KPIs telling you? Mm-hmm. You know, if your KPI is down because it's seasonal, you don't have to really worry about it. But if you're down and it's the height of your busy season, you know, you cannot really have this KPI fall below a certain level. So yeah. therefore, what actions are you taking now? Because let's say we've experienced a 15% drop in one of our KPIs that's not planned for. It's like, wow, it's an anomaly. What mm-hmm. happened? So yeah. then now you're getting together with your staff and through your organizational structure and saying, you know, well, what happened?
Right.
Oh, well, you know, the city of Los Angeles had a power outage mm-hmm. and we were out for a period of time. Okay. Now you have your explanation as to why it's down. So yeah. it's not necessarily an action that you have to take. It's an understanding of what actually happened.
Yeah.
Then you
yeah.
take your action once you yeah. figure out, well, what actually happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get you. I think like kind of Billy's framework is perhaps more on, and even from like a TOC perspective, like the difference between a lagging indicator, which is a KPI, is typically a lagging indicator, right? It's done. Mm-hmm. Like you made the
yeah.
pound, and then leading in. So instead of like, it's kind of like trying to manage your business. The analogy that they would use is, well, it's kind of like driving a car by looking in the rearview mirror. you know, whereas, you know, you got to look ahead, you know, what's in front of you. And so managing, trying to understand what those leading indicators are that allow us to hit that KPI. I feel like that's where sort of Billy and you know, kind of a lean mindset is going as well. But same thing with what we did with Herbie, you know, we lightened his load, you know, and then he's able to hit that KPI, which is the time to complete the hike or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the analogy that I've heard is it's like trying to drive your car from the trunk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're the steering wheel is too far. Your visibility is not the best. And so more often than not, you're going to have multiple levels of KPIs. You're going to have KPIs that your senior management looks at. You're going to have KPIs that your middle management looks at. You're going to have KPIs that the shop floor looks at. And of course, you know, in an area of complete visibility, everybody gets to see them, but they don't really mean as much to, you know, to everybody. And that's kind of the way we work is we help people understand, listen, all of your KPIs are important. It doesn't really hurt it, the guy on the floor, to know what the overall efficiency was for the plant for the month, but it doesn't necessarily help him as his only indicator. Because he's
he
on the line.
He can't control it anyhow, right? He only has one small
piece. Well, he can control it, but he can only control it on a run. But his piece, his line on a run-by-run basis, he can do the best that he can. And then in the roll-up number, it does, in the end, affect it. Yeah. But it is good for everybody to be able to see that. Now, you mentioned kind of your leading indicators, like having sensors on the line or doing some form of counts during the day to try to figure out where you're at. Yes, those are equally as important, because what you'll find is if all of your KPIs are lagging, you're never going to be able to kind of catch up until after the fact. So you do need to have some leading indicators, but too many leading indicators and you're going to get, it's too much data. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a tremendous amount of talk nowadays about automated data collection and sensors and, you know, OPC servers and all of that. And it's like, if you wanted to, you know, you could get inundated, and most people do get inundated with just this reams and reams and reams of data. But what does it all mean? Because in the end, you need a human being to interpret it.
Right.
And whether it's data interpretation on the line or it's interpretation by management, you know, the data itself is not necessarily going to point you in the direction that you think. AI is becoming really big now with regards to AI of all of that automated data, because they realize it's too time consuming for a human being to crunch all these numbers. So they try to come up with algorithms in order to find out what's meaningful and what's not. And that's great for people who are in that situation. Most manufacturers, some of them that we deal with, you know, they could run their business on a napkin, and that's great until you grow to a point where that just becomes not feasible. So you've got people in that entire spectrum, you know?
Yeah,
and that's kind of where we fit in as a middle player, is to help people say, okay, what is not enough technology and what is too much technology?
Yeah.
And what is the balance there? Because in the end, our focus and our goal is throughput. And that's what Herbie's all about. You know, you got to get the whole Boy Scout troop through the forest. And Herbie has to come with. You can't lose Herbie. So how do you do that? And and that's a daily task. Every day you have to meet your schedule. Well, you don't have to meet your schedule, but you, if you don't meet your schedule, what are the ramifications?
Well, you either tomorrow.
You either make it tomorrow or you just cancel the order and call the customer and say, yeah, sorry. You know, we tried. You know, we tried to make it, but downtime killed us. And so, you know, we're not going to do your order. That's, no, that's not going to happen. It's usually going to then as a, have the slinky effect where it's going to push the schedule to the next day and the next day and the next day. You know, so one of the key metrics that you may want to track at certain part in the seasons is late orders, you know, on-time shipping. Because in the manufacturing business, if you don't ship it, you can't invoice it. It's not like, oh, we're going to send you this. Send us a check. No, usually it's like, we made it, it's on the truck, it's gone, here's your bill. And so really, you balance that back, assuming you have no problems getting the truck or loading the truck, which, by the way, also is downtime. And we do have some customers that will track downtime out to that level because until the truck leaves, they can't ship. They can't invoice.
How frustrating is that? You go through all this thing. You make it, get it produced, and then you can't ship it. You know, like,
wow. You can't ship it because the truck's late or whatever.
So, Vince, you mentioned data collection. So I want to maybe pivot a little bit and go in that direction. Maybe talk a little bit about how, you know, the way that you collect data is really just as important as how you analyze it. And then once you've got data, you know, what do we do?
Right. That's an excellent question. There used to be a point in time many, many years ago when I first started out in this business where you had to go through a little bit of an education or a training or even a little bit of a sales job on explaining to people, you know, why they need to collect data. You need to have data in order to run your business. There used to be a fight there when back in the beginning of continuous improvement, back in the 70s and 80s, there was a little bit of a sales job that had to be done to say, listen, you need to collect data and develop metrics. And you were coming generationally from a bunch of people who weren't used to that. Okay. They were used to, you know, walking around the plant floor and making their presence known in order to run the business. Well, that's now changed. And so now, you know, you very rarely run into a manufacturer who's not collecting data. Somebody, you're collecting data. So now you're starting out with a spreadsheet and then you're growing into all of the various options that that are out there. And the big issue that we've come across is what we would call data trust. And that is you can collect the data, but do you trust the data? Mm. And then that's going to get back to the data source. Okay. Are you collecting your data manually? Who are you collecting it from? Are you auditing that data? And then the same thing, interestingly enough, applies to the automated side. Okay. Are you collecting automated data? Or you're collecting automated data, but where is that automated data coming from? And is it reliable and can you trust it? And so really, the how you collect the data is really analyzed from that trust view. Mm-hmm. Because when you get into a meeting, if everybody can agree that the data is reliable, well, now the meeting becomes actionable. Okay, what are we going to do about it? But there are many, many meetings that have taken place where the meeting becomes a discussion about, well, whose data is it? Is it my data? Is it your data? Is it department managers? You know, do we really trust that information that's being brought forth? And that opens up a whole nother issue with regards to culture and various, levels. Are we talking, is this a manager, an operations manager talking to his production supervisors? Or is this the VP of operations talking to his middle management about the data? Mm-hmm. And so that's really, you know, kind of the gray area where we help people get some clarity on is, okay, well, you're collecting data. Great. And we've audited the data and it's good data. Now what? So then we help them with our management consulting experience and our operations experience to have productive meetings. We've got a little phrase that's been kicked around by some of my clients. They call them MOS meetings, which stands for Management Operations Supervision. And that's where you're really going to sit down and go through the nuts and bolts what's, you know, what action should we take now that we know that we have good data?
Yeah.
But really getting to that data trust point is your, you know, your first step.
Man, it makes me so happy to hear you say that, because kind of the Six Sigma side of me, you know, one of my passions is gauge R&R. In fact, one of our black belts going through our certification program right now works for, an organization where they do some manual inspections. They're using equipment, but there's still a person involved. And what they've been finding is that the people they're rejecting a lot of good parts, which is very expensive, right?
Yes.
And so just some basic gauge R&R, you know, analysis, and they were able to identify, you know, training opportunities of, you know, hey, Vince, this, I noticed that you're seeing this thing a certain way, and Ron, you're seeing this one a certain way, and both of you are kind of off. And so let's get back together. And man, you know, just that whole idea of repeatability and reproducibility is, I think it would move our GDP by, you know, 10% if organizations really fully adopted, you know, just the idea of are your measurement systems repeatable, reproducible? Can you trust them? Are they reliable? And because so much of the data that we see out there that I see that over the years is it's just noise. You can't even see the process about the noise in the measurement system.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the, you know, one of our key philosophies, or if not our singular key philosophy in everything that we do relating to manufacturers and productivity is people matter. And people want to matter. So the fact that you had people on the line that were rejecting good parts, well, there's a reason why they were rejecting the good parts. Mm-hmm. Are there internal constraints that there is a negative repercussion for letting a bad part go through? So then the people on the line were like, well, I'm never letting that happen because
No one
this is
trouble.
What happened to me. Yeah. It was a bad result. So they were just, they were over rejecting. And so that's, you know, it's a great story that you bring up there because I think that that gets lost in the whole data collection, data analysis, artificial intelligence, sensors. I think that whole discussion gets lost is that, you know, people matter and they want their jobs to matter. I was listening. I was actually reading a post that a gentleman had about how the people on the line have so much knowledge with regards to how to do things more effectively. And, you know, there was a manager who was coming down or actually a consultant that was coming in, helping them with stuff. And he was watching the guy pack this stuff off. And the packer had a nice little routine on what he was doing. And then, you know, the gentleman said, well, let me try that. And he got in there and he couldn't do it. And so his whole point was people forget that even the person on the back of the line is a skilled laborer.
Yeah.
It's a skill in order to do that. And when it has an effect on productivity and efficiency, it's really, it resonates all the way up the chain, all the way up the chain. So.
Yeah. People matter. I love that.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Hey, Vince, this has been fun, man. I appreciate you taking time to come on. If folks want to connect with you or maybe your website, social media, what's the best way?
Right. Well, the best way is the website, and I'll give it to you slow. It's www.3dspc.com, and that's the number 3. So again, www.3dspc.com. And then, or you can find us on LinkedIn, and it's linkedin.com/IN/ProdoTrack. That's PRDOTRK. It's a small acronym for production tracking.
Got it. And we're going to link it all up. People have already clicked on it now that you've said it because we got it in the show notes below this. So yeah, so we'll get you all linked up and let's all go connect with Vince and keep building this community of improvers.
Yes. So. Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, yeah, well, take care and appreciate the time, Vince.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. Whether you've been on the continuous improvement journey for many years, or perhaps you're just getting started, Gemba Academy is here to support you. And while we're best known for our more than 1,500 Lean and Six Sigma teaching and virtual tour videos, we also have a team of experienced Lean and Six Sigma practitioners available for one-on-one coaching, as well as a variety of Lean and Six Sigma certification options. To learn more and to schedule a demo, head on over to GembaAcademy.com.